This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7, The Game.
The Warriors will dribble it out. Golden State was down 83-59, and they finished the game with a 73-28 run. 73-28. And they win here in Chicago, 132-111. And get their first win on this road trip, and their first win with Jimmy Butler as a Golden State Warrior.
Welcome into Warriors Wrap-Up. Ooh, that was fun, wasn't it, Dub Nation? Mark Randy with you here on 95.7 The Game. The Jimmy Butler era is here, and the Warriors are undefeated in the Jimmy Butler era. Small sample size, but hey, a win is a win. The Warriors desperately needed this one. I'm already seeing these texts come through, both on our text line and on our YouTube chat. You can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. You can visit our YouTube live stream, 95 or youtube.com/957thegame. A lot of this already. That was fun. It was refreshing, wasn't it? The first half was one thing. Early third quarter was one thing. But that second half, for the most part, that was the most fun I think a lot of us had watching Warriors basketball in quite a long time. And this isn't just Steph goes for 24 points in the third quarter, and that's why it was fun. It's because we legitimately saw the path for the Warriors to being a more consistent and just frankly a better basketball team in the second half. And of course, you're going to have games where Steph just by himself wins you the game. And Steph nearly by himself brought them back into the game. But he did not win this game by himself. He was amazing in that third quarter, scoring 24 of his 34 in that second quarter, in that third quarter, excuse me. The 41st regular season game of his career, scoring 20 or more points in a single quarter. 46th time he's done that, 20 or more points in any quarter, regular or postseason. He was amazing. But Jimmy Butler, what he adds to this team, and I'm talking specifically on offense. We can talk about some of the issues defensively because, man, that first half was ugly defensively. Jimmy Butler, I think, will help there as well. But Jimmy Butler on offense, when this Warrior team is searching for a bucket, when the threes aren't falling, when Steph isn't having an amazing shooting night like he did in the third quarter tonight, and really the majority of this entire basketball game, he was 10 for 19, 8 for 16 from deep. Jimmy Butler, as efficient as they get on offense. He scored 25 points, 7 for 12 from the field. 7 for 12 from the field, 25 points. That is incredible efficiency from Jimmy Butler. And you ask, well, how can he get to 25 on only 7 makes from the field? Because he got to the free throw line 13 times. 11 for 13 for Jimmy Butler from the free throw line. And that is the secret for the Warriors. That is the secret. They now have somebody, and they're going to get another one of those guys back in Kuminga when he eventually returns from his ankle sprain. But with Jimmy Butler, they now have somebody who can just go and get you 2 points easy at times when your outside shot isn't falling. Jimmy Butler, you can post him up. I thought this was a great point. If you're watching on the NBC Sports Bay Area broadcast and you stuck around for the post-game show, I always love listening and watching my guys Bonte and Moley and Festus break the game down before I take the air here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. And it was the Hall of Famer Chris Mullen who said, the Warriors, before Jimmy Butler, before tonight, they almost exclusively pass the ball into the post, right? A post entry. Almost exclusively, they enter the ball into the post to pass. It's the split action, right? Draymond catches it in the post. They run Steph off a screen in the perimeter, and Draymond either looks to pass to Steph coming off the screen or the roller who set the screen. Very rarely do the Warriors enter the ball into the post and look to score. They do it now with Jimmy Butler. If Butler's got a 2-1, if he's got Kobe White on him on a switch, guess what? Warriors, call it out, clear aside, post entry to Jimmy Butler, let him back down, spin baseline, drive, he'll finish. He might be able to drive and dish. He did that a couple of times. I think, and this is something I talked about earlier after the trade went down, Jimmy Butler severely underrated as a passer, as a creator, as a distributor. We know what he is defensively. We know what he is in clutch time, but he is also a willing and very capable passer. We saw that a number of times, but he just gives the Warriors offense an added layer of versatile scoring, because the Warriors at times, not at times, often, they're just one-dimensional offensively. And if their threes are falling, they're going to be great offensively. But more often than not, considering the fact that they have not a lot of good three-point shooters, those threes aren't going to be falling every single night. And when that's not happening, you need some other consistent offense. And I don't think the Warriors really have it for many people on their roster until now with Jimmy Butler, who, again, when things aren't going well, he can just go and get you a bucket down low, set up Looney for a bucket down low. He set up Gui Santos for a couple of free throws, did not go down as an assist for Jimmy Butler, but he has the ability to do that. He has the ability to get to the free throw line. He will he'll pin down his defender, and this happened like 4 or 5 times in this game, whether it was Draymond, I think Pajemski did it a couple of times, Steph might have done it once or twice, where Butler is pinning his defender down. He's near the paint on the block or maybe in the middle of the paint, and his teammate just throws the ball over the top of the defense, and Jimmy, in one motion, leaps, catches, turns, lays it in. Like, the Warriors have just been dying for something like that. Absolutely dying to have a player who can just score in a pinch in a situation like that. And then guess what happens when you get Jimmy rolling around the rim in the mid-range, like from 15 feet and in? The defense, once you enter into the post, it's got to collapse on him. They got to collapse on him because they know one-on-one, Jimmy Butler against almost any of the guys that are normally on him, he's going to be able to, at the very least, create a good look. The good look isn't always going to fall, but it's a quality, high-percentage look. The defense is not going to give that over and over and over and over again. And then what happens? Then you've got room elsewhere. You have openings on the perimeter. You have an advantage that you can then exploit. And that's when you get some open looks from other shooters. Buddy Hield, I know he's had a really rough go the last like 2+ months. He is beginning to hit the threes a little bit more Lately, he's 4-for-9 from downtown tonight. He's been good shooting-wise, at least compared to his standards the last couple of months on this road trip. It creates more open looks. Pajemski can knock down an open look. We know what Steph can do. You give him more open looks, that's never going to be a bad thing. The Jimmy Butler addition into the Warriors on offense, it has the ability to open up so much else for this Warrior team. I also, and I'm seeing this being brought up on our YouTube chat right now, I'm honestly ashamed I haven't said his name yet. It opens things up for Quentin Post as well. Quentin Post with a quiet 18 points, 7-for-10 from the field, 4-for-7 from downtown. This is the skill set that the Warriors desperately needed. Ideally, they could use another shooter as well, not denying that. No doubt they could use that, but they just needed an addition of some kind of offensive versatility. And Jimmy Butler has a skill set on offense that the Warriors haven't had, like, since Kevin Durant was a Warrior. Like, the Warriors haven't had a give the ball to him in the post and try to let him get a bucket since Kevin Durant. They haven't had that player in a very long time. And just in general, like shot creation off the dribble, like off your own dribble, whether you're creating for yourself or for somebody else, the Warriors haven't really had anyone as good as Jimmy Butler at that since Kevin Durant as well. You could say, well, Jordan Poole, yeah, Poole's pretty good at that, but he's not Jimmy Butler levels shot creation off the dribble. This is just a new wrinkle into the Warriors' offense. And I think it took them a little bit to adjust because, frankly, the first half was pretty darn ugly, specifically defensively. I also had major issues with how it looked offensively because you just needed to get the ball in the hands of Buddy Hield and Steph Curry more. I mean, Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry more, because Buddy Hield had 11 field goal attempts in the first half. He only had 2 in the second half. And I know a lot of those for Buddy Hield were open looks, but I'd prefer that you try to get a look for Jimmy Butler and or Steph Curry first before you settle for a Buddy Hield 3, whether it was open or not. And that happened a whole lot more in the second half. The defense was another story. That was terrible. And I mean absolutely terrible in the first half and for the first couple minutes of the second half. And then everything changed. It flipped. And the Warriors came out and absolutely dominated this basketball game in the second half. Let me read off some of these numbers to you, and feel free to join the conversation. I would love to hear from you. I think the major emotion is just excitement. It's excitement. It was fun to watch the Warriors play basketball again, and I already see some of these as well on our text line, on our YouTube chat, 888-957-9570. That's the number to call and to shoot a text. I also got my eyes again on our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame. It's Mark Randy with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Just the Bulls, they're below 500, they're now 22-31, like, do this against a good team, and then we can get excited. Hell no, I'm gonna get excited at this, because the Warriors have been pretty darn hard to watch for the last, like, 2+ months now. I'm not saying that this means the Warriors are a title contender, but I'm gonna enjoy a fun basketball game while I can. And I'm going to look for signs that might suggest this is something that can continue. Not saying that the Warriors are going to go on this crazy of a run every single time that they play, but I think there's a pretty clear pathway to this team being a good, decent-sized chunk better than they have been the last couple of months. They're now back to 500 at 26-26. They get a really nice win, 132-111 over the Bulls. If you were to just see the final score and see the box score, you might say, all right, that checks out, right? That checks out. Like, the Warriors with Jimmy Butler and Steph and Draymond, they should beat the Bulls by 21 points. That sounds about right. Good job. Nice win, Warriors. It was a hell of a trip to get to that final score, though, of 132-111. The Bulls took a 24-point lead with 8.5 minutes left in the third quarter. They led 83-59. The Bulls led 83-59 with 8:30 to go in the third quarter. Over the next 16 minutes of basketball, so the final 8:30 of the third and the first 7:30 of the fourth, 16 minutes of basketball, the Warriors outscored the Bulls 67-18. 67-18 over 16 minutes. That's not even a quarter and a half of basketball, and the Warriors scored 67 points. And the defense was also pretty darn good during that stretch. 18 points allowed over 16 minutes. They score 67 in those 16 minutes. They turned a deficit, again, that was 83-59 into a 126-101 lead over the course of 16 minutes. Over 16 minutes, they went from down 24 to up 25. That's a swing of 49 points in 16 minutes. That is absurd. That is ridiculous. And it's not as if the Bulls are one of the worst teams in the NBA. Are they a good team? No. Are they worse than this record? Yeah, probably, because now they're down Zach LaVine, and they did not get, I think, equal talent, current value talent in return in that trade, part of the trade that sent De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs. So, okay, this is not a great team, no doubt. I don't care if you are the Charlotte Hornets. You get outscored 67-18 by the best team in the NBA, and that's embarrassing. The Warriors had by far their best stretch of basketball this whole season. Not even like just post the 12-3 beginning, this whole season in the second half in Chicago today. Again, let me repeat that for you one more time. Over 16 minutes, the Warriors outscored the Bulls 67-18. My goodness, what a stretch of basketball that was for the Warriors. And you know what got it all going? What got it all going for the Warriors, that run, when they were down 24, and it's kind of looking insurmountable, and I'm sure you all out there were feeling the same way that I was feeling. Like, oh no. Oh no, this is bad. This is ugly. This is frankly kind of embarrassing. Jimmy Butler didn't make a difference, and I know in the back of our heads we all say, well, it's just one game. Like, okay, really wanted the win, but let's not overreact. It's hard not to overreact in those situations. And then the run started. And how did the run start? With the Warriors, with Jimmy Butler leading the charge at the free throw line. The Warriors got in the bonus early in the third quarter, and they helped salt the game away at the free throw line. And then, of course, you had just Stephen Curry doing Stephen Curry things and scoring 24 points in the third quarter alone. But you began the run by getting to the free throw line. There was a span where Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Buddy Hield each got...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To the free throw line and made all six of those free throws on three straight possessions. That began the Warriors' run. Then Steph got hot. Jimmy continued to score down low, got to the free throw line more often. Others chipped in from the free throw line as well, and the Warriors ultimately run away with this basketball game. Let me bring up the third quarter numbers for you specifically from the free throw line. The Warriors in the third quarter alone, 10 for 12 from the free throw line. So 12 of their 31 free throw attempts came in the third quarter. That was the key for the Warriors, and it has not been something they've been able to rely on all year. The Warriors on offense, it's been a really simple equation. Are they making their threes? Yeah? Okay, they're probably going to win. Are they missing their threes? No? Or pardon me, are they making their threes? No? Then they're probably going to lose. The Warriors ultimately made their threes tonight. They made 19. They shot a tick under 40%. But even if they were missing their threes or not nearly as high of a percentage shooting from outside, they could have supported themselves at the free throw line, and that could have won them the basketball game. And it was a big reason why. Steph Curry, of course, from deep, was also a big reason why. But Jimmy Butler gives this team an added dimension. Okay, time for a quick break. When we come back, your calls, your texts, your chats on YouTube, youtube.com/957thegame. We got plenty to get into. Jimmy Butler debuts. The Warriors win. Butler scored 25. Steph scored 34. There were three others in double figures. The Warriors erased a 24-point deficit, and they won this basketball game by 21. Ridiculous second half for the Golden State Warriors. We'll break it all down as Warriors wrap-up continues. It's Mark Randy with you. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Post gets out of the way, so Butler takes Herter in, finds Post, dribbles it out, finds Draymond, 7 on the clock, lob inside, Butler, the catch, goes up and scored, and got fouled in one motion, he caught it and scored, and Herter fouled him in the air, what a play by Jimmy Buckets, my goodness.
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Great job by Tim Roy calling the action there. That's exactly the play that I was referring to. The extra element that Jimmy Butler gives the team on offense, he gets a smaller dude on him. Hey, he'll make him front him. He'll get on the defender's backside, wall him off, call for the ball over the top. Whoever is on the top of the key with the possession of the basketball, whether it's Pajemski, whether it's Curry, whether it's Draymond, hell, it could be Buddy Hield. Jimmy Butler says, hey, give me the ball, throw it over the top, I got it. You throw the ball up, and hey, it doesn't got to be a perfect pass because Jimmy Butler can still get up. He leaps, makes the catch, and in one motion turns, lays it in, draws the foul, goes to the free throw line, three-point play, and the Warriors' run continued. That's the kind of play that the Warriors can do often with Jimmy Butler that they simply did not have in their repertoire because they didn't have a guy who can do that on a consistent basis. You might see that every once in a while, but it's more of a rare occurrence. With Jimmy Butler, you will see a play like that every single game. And if you don't, honestly, there's an issue because that's free points waiting to happen game after game after game. Free points. It's the same thing with Jimmy Butler post-ups. It's the same exact thing. You have easy points with Jimmy Butler, and you have to exploit it. And honestly, when we talk about what went wrong in the first half and what changed first half to second half, it was the Warriors realizing they had those easy points with Jimmy Butler more often. He got going in the second half. Getting down low like that also gets him to the free throw line. Getting fouls on the opponents allowed the Warriors to, I think it was like the final 9 minutes of the third quarter, they were in the bonus, and they rode that to a huge third quarter advantage. They outscored the Bulls 42-25 in the third quarter alone. Steph scored 24 of those 42 in the third quarter alone. Jimmy Butler had himself a huge third quarter. Let me get you Jimmy Butler's third quarter line here exactly. Jimmy Butler had seven of his 25 in the third quarter. Got to the free throw line four times. But those free throw numbers, or the foul numbers, I think what's more complimentary of Jimmy Butler and what he did in the third quarter, maybe not his scoring numbers or his free throw numbers, it's the free throw numbers of the rest of the team. The Warriors got to the line 12 times in the third quarter alone because based on what Jimmy Butler can do and the stress that he puts on a defense, he helped get the Warriors in the bonus. It allowed Steph to go to the line six times. How many times do you see Steph get six free throw attempts in a single quarter? He rarely gets six free throw attempts in a whole game, and he got six in the third quarter alone. And a lot of that is because of the stress that Jimmy Butler puts on defenses. So it was great to see the Warriors adjust to that and be more aggressive at getting Jimmy Butler looks and putting the defense in those stressful situations more often in the second half. 888-957-9570. Let's go out to the phone lines here on Warriors Wrap Up. Mark Randy with you. You are free to join the conversation, whether you want to text or call. That number is the same 888-957-9570. I also have our YouTube chat up, youtube.com/957thegame. I see Adam, I see Enrique, I see Jimbo, I see Luis. Shout out to everybody tuning in on our YouTube chat right now as well. Let's go to Ivan in Oakland. Ivan, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Thanks for taking my call. The way I see this game tonight, it wasn't an accident. I wanted to really pay attention to how they was going to react to Steph once Jimmy Butler got out there. And they kind of played, not, I won't say man-to-man, but there wasn't as much attention paid to Steph Curry as normally. And then so when Jimmy sat down and Steph left it by himself, then they went back to normal Steph coverage, right? Run 2-3 at him, make everybody else beat you. And once Kerr saw that and figured that out, Jimmy started to attack, and it changed. It changed everything. Even Kerr mentioned that in his press conference that with Jimmy out there, less attention is paid to Steph Curry, and Steph Curry getting a bunch of one-on-ones, and you showed you what happens to him when you play him one-on-one. He put 24 on him, and that just broke. That basically broke Chicago's back. Okay, and they just started panicking, making turnovers. It was like an avalanche, and the Warriors kind of helped that out with you know, outstanding defense to boot. So that's going to be big. I think they're going to have more packages with Jimmy and Steph on the court. But when Jimmy's on the court and he's such a threat with the ball in his hands, it's pick your poison. Either stop Jimmy or stop Steph. And right now, as you can see, Steph is still the man. Okay, but what a weapon that is. And then when Kuminga come back, I don't know how they're going to do that. Okay, me and a buddy was talking about that. Who's going to sit? Okay, but that's a good problem to have. I'd rather have that problem than not. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that, sir. Thank you, and go Warriors.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ivan. I think it's a really good call. There's no doubt that the threat of Jimmy Butler alone, even if Jimmy Butler isn't like scoring a bunch, and the same thing goes for Steph, right? Like it works in tandem, but just the threat of Jimmy Butler, like even if Butler is 0-for-7 from the field and he scored 3 points all from the free throw line, the threat of Jimmy Butler, because he is a proven all-NBA player. He has been the best player by a mile on two separate NBA Finals teams, not winning teams, NBA Finals winning teams, but Eastern Conference Championship teams. I hate rings culture because that suggests that Jimmy Butler is not a winner. Jimmy Butler has always been a winner. He's one of the greatest winners in the NBA today. Doesn't have a ring. Okay, big deal. He's one of the best winners in the NBA right now. Just the threat of that, the respect that defenses have to pay to Jimmy Butler, even if he is not scoring, makes everything so much easier for Steph Curry. Everything so much easier for Steph Curry. And the same thing goes, it's the same conversation we've had about Steph for a decade plus now. Now, Steph is like on steroids in that regard. There has never been an NBA player in the history of the game that has ever put more fear into opposing defenses than Steph Curry. So I'm not saying that Jimmy Butler has as much of a positive effect in that regard, or that Jimmy Butler has as much of a positive effect in that regard as Steph does, but it is a very similar conversation. Now, I do think it's going to be interesting to see how Steve Kerr manages Jimmy's and Steph's minutes. Steph played 31 minutes through three quarters tonight. He ended up finishing with only a tick under 34 because the Warriors did not need to run him out there very much in the fourth because they built a 25-point lead, believe it or not, relatively early in that fourth quarter. But it's rare to see Steph up above 30 minutes through three quarters. He played the entire third quarter, and we're going to hear from Steve Kerr coming up here in a little bit on the postgame show on Warriors Wrap-Up. I would imagine if Steve was asked, he would say that, well, I left him in there more so because he was so incredibly hot in the third quarter. He scored 24 of his 34 points in the third quarter alone. The 41st time he's done that in the regular season in any quarter. a 20 or more point quarter in the regular season. 46th time he's done that in his entire career, regular or postseason. Again, 20 or more points in a single quarter. I have some of the numbers here. Actually, let me bring them up for you in just a second. There's really crazy numbers. In the regular season, most 20-point quarters in the NBA since the beginning of the 96-97 season. Stephen Curry, 41, the most. The second most, Kobe Bryant with 36. James Harden's done it 29 times. Damian Lillard's done it 28 times. Devin Booker's done it 27 times. Steph Curry, 41 times he scored 20 or more in a single regular season quarter, most in the NBA since 96-97. Steph was awesome, and a big part of that was just him catching fire and absolutely was not able to miss. He gets in those zones, and it doesn't matter if there's a hand in his face, three hands in his face, or he's wide open, he's hitting them all the same. But if you go through each individual shot for Steph Curry, there was more space than there has been recently for Steph. A lot more space than there has been recently. And a big part of that is Jimmy Butler. There's no doubt about that. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. It's also our Comcast business text line. The 650 saying, I know it's the Bulls, but finally seeing the other team guard Steph or not guard Steph with 3 to 4 people all game was nice to see. And that's exactly what Ivan was talking about. You have the respect and the threat of somebody else on the floor. It opens things up for Steph. I was a little hesitant, and if you were listening to me all this week leading up to the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, you know how I feel about the acquisition. I think it makes the Warriors quite a bit better. I was a little bit uncertain about how it would fit strategically and schematically, because I think the Warriors ideally would get a shot creator off the dribble like Jimmy Butler is, but one that's more based on shooting, because the Warriors desperately need more shooting. But Jimmy Butler is so adept at what he does, and he gives the Warriors a skill that they do not have. Like, they don't have a lot of shooters. They also don't have anybody that can score consistently down low other than like created lobs from somebody else. Jimmy Butler gives them that dimension, which is new as well. So I think I overlooked that just a little bit. But it has been just one game. But tonight was a huge, huge success for the Warriors in that regard. Again, you can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. I mentioned what I think Steve Kerr had to say postgame, and I know Ivan also mentioned what Steve Kerr said postgame. Let's hear that conversation. Steve Kerr, postgame tonight in Chicago after his team's win over the Bulls, 132-111 is the final. The Warriors were down by 24 early third. They were up by 25 in the fourth. A turnaround of 49 points over 16 minutes of basketball. Absurd. An absurd basketball game, and the Warriors come out on top in Jimmy Butler's debut. Here's Coach Kerr postgame tonight in Chicago on his team's win.
Pretty fun having Jimmy on our team. He's an amazing player. The ability to get fouled, it just settles the game for us at key times. But I'm most impressed with his passing. You know, I just think his passing changes everything, connects the game. He does it from anywhere. He'll dive down to the post, catch it down there, or he'll, pass off the dribble, or he'll just make the quick swing. So the skill, the strength, the ability to get to the free throw line, and then, in the end, he goes beyond that. It's his just his presence out there. He's a lion out there. He is a force.
You played Steph the whole, third. How much is that because of, having Jimmy in your back pocket to start the fourth? It just kind of looked like that old school formula.
Well, it was more just because Steph was rolling. I don't love playing him 12 straight, but he was just on fire, obviously. He just completely flipped the game. There was no way I was going to take him out. The big change, I think, in the fourth quarter was keeping Draymond out there and putting Quentin with Draymond, and and Jimmy and BP and Buddy, and that lineup was able to carry on that third quarter momentum. Quentin was fantastic. You know, he gives us that space five that opens up the floor, and it's, you know, watching Draymond and Jimmy together defensively is really, really something.
What did you make of the small ball units that featured Draymond at center with Jimmy part of those groups?
Well, we tried to go to it in the second quarter to try to flip things, and Chicago was making everything, and we didn't really make up much ground. But I do like the look of that lineup with Draymond at the five and Jimmy at the four. I think it's going to be good for us, and, you know, we can switch everything and kind of play through those guys. But you know, I thought tonight it was more, you know, Steph flipping the game, and then you know, Jimmy kind of carrying forward that momentum and taking over the game once Steph went out. And it's fun watching it all unfold.
That's Steve Kerr post-game tonight in Chicago after the Warriors beat the Bulls again. Final score 132-111. The Warriors get back to 500, 26-26. Kind of absurd. They were 18-18, and ever since then, they've never been more than a game above or below 500. So they've been 18-18, 19-19, 20-20, so on and so forth, all the way until now at 26-26. We'll see, though, if the acquisition of Jimmy Butler is what they need to get a couple games over 500 for the first time since they were 18-16. Steve Kerr marveling there in Steph Curry's greatness still. Can we just spend a second here talking about Steph and Curry? There's been a lot of talk about Steph, and there's a certain degree to which this conversation gets much too aggressive for my taste. Steph's about to be 37 years old. He is, of course, it's natural. He's, of course, like, not as insanely, incredibly great as he once was. His peaks are still as good as ever. The peaks just don't happen quite as often, and it's nothing against Steph. But this idea that he is washed is absolutely ludicrous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Pre-Jimmy Butler acquisition, right, before tonight, and especially ever since Jonathan Kuminga went down with an injury, Steph Curry has never played with less offensive talent than, like, the last month. Never in his entire career. Especially in the Steve Kerr era. We could probably find moments pre-Steve Kerr, even pre-Mark Jackson, like rookie Steph maybe, when maybe you can make an argument. But in the Steve Kerr era, when Steph has been Steph, he has never been asked to play with less offensive talent around him than he had been for the last month. Never. And you pair that with him getting older, it's only natural to see some bad nights. And there has been some bad nights. No one is denying that. But this idea that Steph is washed, oh, it is far too premature. And he showed you in the third quarter. In the third quarter alone, Steph Curry, 24 points, 7 of 11 from the field, 5 of 8 from downtown. And he helped turn, as Steve Kerr said, he was the driving force behind the comeback. He helped turn a 24-point deficit into a 3-point advantage in the span of 8.5 minutes. 8.5 minutes, Stephen Curry dominated. Again, 24 points, 7 of 11 from the field, 5 of 8 from downtown. The 41st regular season game, he scored 20 or more points in a single quarter. If you include postseason, that goes up to 46 career games scoring 20 or more in a single quarter. Stephen Curry is still incredibly good, and it was a pleasure to watch him do it again. There's no greater show in sports, in my opinion, than still a Stephen Curry flurry. And man, was there one tonight in this one. Steph Curry was just awesome. 888-957-9570. You know what else we should do? We should hear from Jimmy Butler, because Jimmy Butler was the post-game guest on the television broadcast, NBC Sports Bay Area. Shout out to our guys, Bonte Hill, Chris Mullen, and Festus Azili, doing a great job on pre, halftime, and post, as always. And they had the pleasure of welcoming Jimmy Butler to Dub Nation. Let's hear that walk-off interview. The newest Warrior, Jimmy Butler, on NBC Sports Bay Area post-game with Bonte Hill, Chris Mullen, Festus Azili. Take it away, guys. Here's Jimmy Butler.
13 run, helped by Jimmy Butler, who made his Warriors debut tonight, making the most free throws in a debut for the Warriors in history, in franchise history, I should say. 11 to 13, 25 big ones. Jimmy, welcome to Toyota Warriors postgame live. To Hall of Famer Chris Mullin, NBA champ Festus Ezeli, I'm Bonte Hill. And what happened at halftime in your debut there? You go back to Chicago where you started your career. You start your Warriors tenure back in Chicago. You guys are down 24. What was the message there at halftime and in that third quarter as you guys had that crazy turnaround?
Get some stops. We all know whenever we can guard, get into the open floor, we're definitely going to score enough points. We're going to make enough shots. We just got to guard without fouling.
Jimmy Butler, congratulations on a great game. Welcome to the Golden State Warriors. My question is, this team has been a prolific three-point shooting team. With your ability to play in the paint, play in the mid-range, and get to the free throw line, do you feel like that's going to balance things out on the offensive end?
I think so. As soon as I got here, everybody was telling me to be myself, play my style of basketball, and we'll make it work. I'll fit in just fine. So I went out there, did that to the best of my ability. Don't touch me. And we got it done.
Jimmy, what is it like to play with Steph Curry? It's one thing that see him play against him, but what has it been like for you so far playing with him first game back?
It's fun to watch whenever I was extremely exhausted, gasping for air over here on the bench. But just to play with him, how smart he is, how unselfish he is, and how he makes the most incredible shots, and he wants his teammates to be great. There's nothing like it.
Jimmy, incredible debut. I'm amazed at your fitness level. What have you been doing to stay in shape? Tonight, look, you look like you're in mid-season form.
Oh, I didn't feel like it. Looks can definitely be deceiving. I was exhausted. But I don't know. I've been ripping and running, lifting, working on my game, trying to have fun while I wasn't able to compete. But tonight was a good one, and we started off on the right foot.
You know, Mully and I love our cappuccinos. We know you're a big coffee connoisseur. You've been
you sent some
coffee
to the studio, baby.
Coffee. How much coffee have you had to drink over the last 40 hours, Jimmy?
A ton of coffee. Me and Steph got a lot of coffee to get over these next few days. So I'm excited, and I'm super glad to be here. And if you can't tell, I am very, very joyful.
Jimmy, nice talking to you. We see you when you get out to the Bay Area, but good luck Monday against Milwaukee. Right.
Thank you.
Jimmy Butler, he could be pretty charming, huh? He was cracking jokes. You heard at one point at the end of one answer where he kind of exclaimed, "Don't touch me." It was all in good fun. He had a smile on his face. It was Buddy Hield who came up behind him mid-interview and kind of gave him those like that squeeze on the shoulders and congratulating him, excuse me. And Jimmy Butler immediately, "Don't touch me." But again, all in good fun. The guys are joking around. Jimmy Butler, pretty charming, and he made himself a really nice first impression on Warrior fans with his performance tonight. 25 points, 7 of 12 from the field, 11 of 13 from the free throw line, and it goes back to something that Steve Kerr talked about in his postgame presser, talking about how good of a passer he is. And that was something that I highlighted a couple of nights ago after the trade went final, after the Utah game. I felt like Jimmy Butler, an underrated passer. And that's a big area where he can help this team. And we saw it early. Jimmy Butler's first three possessions, he had an assist on a Buddy Hield three. That was along the perimeter, of course. The next offensive possession, he took a screen from Steph. Steph set a screen for him, and Jimmy Butler back cut it, ran towards the baseline, caught an alley-oop from Buddy Hield, and dunked it down, his first made field goal as a Warrior. And then the next possession, he was taking a screen from Steph again. He was the ball handler this time up top. Steph Curry came up to set the screen. Jimmy Butler ignored it and went the other way, got to the hoop, drew the foul, got to the free throw line, and made a couple of free throws. But there was a couple of other possessions later on in that first quarter where he set up his teammates with easy buckets down low. One of them was a drive baseline where he gets the ball kind of in the extended post, drives baseline, draws the defense, they close him off, and he just simply like dumps it off underneath to Looney for an easy lay-in. He is really, really good at that. And he can help the Warriors a lot in that regard. I think that is a really underrated part of his repertoire. And I think that we're going to see that consistently going forward. I also think, and this is a really good point brought up by the 925 on our text line, and you can join the conversation whether you want to call or text, 888-957-9570. I believe this was the play that the 925 is pointing out, that we heard Tim Roy call when we came back from our last break to begin this segment. It was the the Jimmy Butler in the post, in the paint, kind of gets his defender to front him, and he seals him off. He seals off the defender, asks for the over-the-top pass. I believe it was from Draymond. Draymond throws it over the top. He leaps, catches, and in one motion turns, lays it up, plus the foul. And the 925 says Draymond's excited face after his pass to Jimmy in the post when he jumped, shot, and got fouled says it all. Draymond dapped up post, and I think Steve even yelled, yes, great first game. Hope they can keep it coming. 925, I'm with you. That was not just a big moment because it was part of that run, but I think it signified that the Warriors all realized they got something they've desperately missed that they have not had all season, and it's a player who can give them those easy kinds of buckets. You might get that again every once in a while from someone like Andrew Wiggins, but not consistently enough to where you can rely upon it night in and night out, and I think that was the moment where Draymond realized, where Steve Kerr realized, like, oh, okay, we got something with that specific action. And that's going to give us a couple of buckets every single night. I really do feel like that is an area that the Warriors can exploit now moving forward with Jimmy Butler. I also think that when you have... I think part of the reason why the Warriors felt a little bit different today isn't because the roster feels so incredibly different. Jimmy Butler added in, but everybody else is the same. You're down Wiggins, you're down Slo-Mo, you're down Schroeder, you're down Lindy Waters. Okay, so like you lose a lot of guys that were getting regular rotation minutes. But when you have like a legit number one and number two scoring tandem, right? Like when you have those two consistently, the others, like, the pressure on the others is nowhere near as much. And it kind of feels like everybody else slides back into place a little bit more. And I think that's only going to be more true when Jonathan Kuminga comes back, right? Because as the Warriors were constructed before the trade deadline, you had Stephen Curry as your one, and you were needing to rely on Andrew Wiggins as your two. And this is not a dunk on Andrew Wiggins segment. This is just a Andrew Wiggins. If he's your number two, I got bad news for you. You're not going to be a very good basketball team because Wiggins has notoriously been pretty inconsistent as an offensive force. He'll have games where he gives you 25 or more. He'll have games where he gives you 30. And you'll be like, oh my God, where is this Wiggins on a night-to-night basis? But for as many as those games that he has, he'll give you a 7-point stinker where he goes 3-for-12 from the field. Like, that's just the Andrew Wiggins experience. One hell of a Warrior. They don't win in 22 without him. Don't get it twisted. This is not an Andrew Wiggins hate point. This is just the reality of the Warriors situation before this trade. Wiggins is not a 2, but the Warriors have been asking him to be the 2. Not only were they asking him to be the 2, but they were asking Dennis Schroeder to be the 3. And they were asking, you know, Buddy Hield to be the 4. Like, that is just, and Moses Moody to be the 5. Like, that's just not a solution to any offense. Like, that's not going to be a good offense by any stretch. You had Jimmy Butler in here, and that is a legitimate number 2. And on nights, he will be the Warriors' number 1 scorer. He'll be their highest scorer on nights, I promise you that. Steph Curry, of course, will have something to say about that. And if he shoots like he did tonight, he'll be the number one scorer more often than not. But the point is, 1 and 2, those two are two legit number 1 and number 2 scorers. And then you have Kuminga returning, and he fits as a 3 for sure. And then you get Buddy Hield, who gets a lot more open looks. A lot more open looks when you have the easy number 1 and number 2 guys. And then you could see him sliding in a little bit more as a 4. You got Quentin Post, who's making 70% of his shots tonight, 4-for-7 from downtown as well with 18 points. Everybody else kind of slides down a peg. Moody coming off the bench, he could give you 10 points tonight if he gets the time. Pajemski, who quietly was one of the Warriors' best players tonight. And after a lot of Warrior fans I saw not make fun, but point out how bad Pajemski was on Thursday against the Lakers. Yeah, okay, that's true. He was awesome tonight, and he deserves the kudos for that performance. 7 of 11 was Pajemski, 2 for 5 from downtown, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. The point that I'm trying to make is when you have the set in stone, one, number one and number two, or 1A, 1B, however you want to characterize it, everybody else slides into place and there's less pressure and less responsibility. And oh, by the way, less attention paid to those guys, and it makes their job that much easier, right? Like Pajemski's the same player now as he was a week ago. Maybe the better example could be Buddy Hield. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Buddy Hield start to shoot the basketball better, because he's going to have more consistent open looks where the defense isn't really keying on him as much, because they got two alphas they got to worry about now in Steph and with Jimmy Butler. You add that consistent number two threat, everybody else slides down a peg and it becomes easier for everybody else. Like on the nights when Wiggins was great, it was fine. Like everything worked if Wiggins was great. But the thing is, Wiggins isn't as great as consistently as Jimmy Butler is great. And that is the reality for the Warriors. And it's why making the trade for me was a no-brainer, because it takes some of that responsibility off of the others who are generally inconsistent. Like you get 20 from Steph, 25 maybe, and 20 from Jimmy Butler. That's 45 points between the two of those two dudes every single night. You're not relying on Moody to give you 15. You're not relying on Hield to have to give you 18 to win, right? The Warriors, great when Hield scores 18. They're not going to need him to score 18 anymore to win basketball games. You don't need Pajemski to have a good shooting night to win a basketball game if you're getting the consistent 45 combined from Steph Curry and from Jimmy Butler. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. You know what else we should do? We should hear from Steph Curry, because Steph Curry talked post-game as well. Our guy Chris O'Connell chopped this up, so I got it in little bite-sized pieces for you. Steph Curry asked about Jimmy Butler's performance in his Warrior debut. Here's the chef.
I mean, he's been out for a minute, and I know he was excited to get back out there. Just the idea that, again, you can throw it to him on the block, you can take advantage of matchups, he got to the free throw line, which is something we struggle with. Just making the right play, making the right reads. At the end of the day, like the way that we play, we do have to kind of adjust a little bit to slowing down and understanding where he's going to be, get him in his comfort zone. But at the end of, most of the time throughout the game, if he gets stops, you run. It's just playing good basketball, and he obviously can do that at a very high level.
I think Steph said something important there. It's we got to just slow down at times. And Jimmy Butler allows the Warriors to do just that. The Warriors have been playing at this frenetic pace often this year because they feel like, and rightly so, their best chance at getting a good look is if they just beat the defense down the floor, because, frankly, their half-court offense has been pretty darn abysmal this year. And it's been why down the stretch in close games, they lose so many clutch games, or they blow leads in fourth quarters in clutch time, because they just can't buy themselves a bucket down the stretch in the half court. When games get shortened and you have fouls and you have free throws and you have stoppages, and the game goes a whole lot slower down the stretch of those games. Jimmy Butler gives them a cheat code. Is probably going a step too far, but he gives them like an easy way to just kind of chill and take a deep breath and feel confident that even if they don't push the ball down the floor, and even if they don't beat everybody down the floor, that they still have an outlet to get a good look on a lot of possessions. And Jimmy Butler is the way in which they can do that. Here's more Steph Curry post-game tonight. Asked if Jimmy Butler's presence was felt right away.
Yeah, you play against him, like he's a guy that you have to worry about at all times. And he can dominate a game in a lot of different ways. Now, I'm sure from like a vocal standpoint, he's still getting comfortable. We were still having a good conversation on the sideline, trying to figure stuff out. Not trying to overcomplicate it either. But for him, like he made his presence felt across the board. And having played against him, seeing the success that he has had as a winner, there's a reason he's been to two finals. There's a reason, you know, he has the reputation that he has. And again, one game, great start. I just like the The different look he provided, for sure.
Yeah, he provides a different look. And I think that's what all of us are realizing after just one game. And I will say, I don't want to get like so incredibly optimistic, because this is a Warrior team that has kind of teased us this year with some really great and nice performances that lead you to think, well, maybe they're turning a corner, and then they come out and they lose by 30 points the next game. This is just game one with Jimmy Butler, and the Warriors haven't really had any opportunity yet to really integrate Jimmy Butler. So once Steve Kerr is able to realize a little bit more of what Jimmy's strengths are and how he can capitalize on those strengths, it's going to be even more efficient, I do believe. Now, this is also a Chicago team that defensively is not good, and I'm not denying that. This is a Chicago team in general that is not good. I'm not denying that. But this is also a Warrior team who's trying to integrate Jimmy Butler on the fly, and the second half tonight looked pretty darn seamless. It's only going to get better in that regard, at least you would think, as more time passes and Jimmy Butler spends more time on the court with these guys. Steph Curry asked to expand a little bit on the different look that Jimmy Butler provides. What about the free throw line? Steph, how important is that with Jimmy?
It's huge, and as we keep going, you know, game by game, you'd hope to have a flurry like that where you open it up. But if the game's, you know, possession here, possession there, the momentum's going, not going your way, like, that should be able to help us. Whether he's either getting to the line or finishing in the paint, again, he draws attention. And so if we're decisive and organized, it's hard to kind of take away everything. And I think the idea, he's like the exact opposite player of me, which is kind of funny. Like, I'm shooting 16 threes. He shot one, got to the free throw line a lot. He's dominating the paint. I'm dominating the outside and the perimeter. Guys working around us has the potential to be really, really fun.
Has the potential to be really fun. And yeah, I mean, they are legitimately like opposite offensive players. They both share the ability to create off their own dribble, both for themselves and for others. But like their shot charts, if you were to bring it up, you go to NBA.com and you find the Warriors and Bulls game, and you go over to shot charts, and you view it for Steph and you view it for Jimmy Butler, it like diametrically opposed these two are. And maybe the only thing that can potentially compete with having a couple of great shooters is having the yin and yang of one amazing shooter and one someone else who can just score around the rim and get to the free throw line almost at will at times. One more from Steph Curry, because I think it's notable to also point out that it seems like Steph Curry's rotation is back to the normal rotation. Remember, for the vast majority of this run with Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and Draymond and Klay before this year, Steph would be playing essentially the first 8 minutes of the first quarter. He would sit for the final four of the first, sit for the first four of the second, play the final eight of the third or of the second quarter, and then repeat that in the second half. So 8 minutes on, 8 minutes off, 8 minutes on each half. That adds up to about 32 minutes a game, which is right generally around where the Warriors want Steph Curry to be. They've been doing it differently. They've been doing it 4 minutes on, 4 minutes off, 4 minutes on, 4 minutes on, 4 minutes off, 4 minutes on over the course of a half. They went back to his old rotation for the most part in this basketball game, which I think is smart because it allows Steph Curry to gain a little bit more of a rhythm and some momentum on the offensive end. And I do not think it's surprising that he had a great third quarter as a result. Steph Curry was asked if his rotation, which again has felt like his old rotation, was because of the inclusion of Jimmy Butler. Here's more Steph.
Yeah, I went back to a more traditional kind of rotation, playing a full spread in the first quarter, having a block rest, and he's on the floor for those minutes, and then we're taking turns because he's obviously a guy you can run an offense through and can demand attention, create advantages, obviously get to the line. So one game, a lot to build on. The first half was kind of a weird filling out process, and Chicago got hot, but our composure, you know, in that second half was great to see. And just the idea that we were very intentional about everything we were trying to do in the second half, and it obviously worked.
Yeah, Steph Curry used a good word there. We were very intentional with everything we wanted to do in the second half. I believe he used the same word in the previous answer that we played for you, where he said, as long as we're, I think he said, quote, intentional and organized. you're going to get a good look because you have the shooting of Steph and you have everything else that Jimmy Butler does. And that's a big if, right? Like, if the Warriors are intentional and organized, they should be all right offensively. Yeah, you're right, Steph. The issue is you haven't really been, and I don't just mean you, Steph, although he has had his fair share of mishaps. I mean, the team as a whole has not been intentional and organized over the course of many games this year, specifically like the last 2.5 months. But if they are, considering the different skill sets that they can offer on offense now, this should be a more consistent offense going forward. We shall see how it all works out. All right, 888-957-9570 if you want to get final thoughts in. We only got a few more minutes left with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up tonight on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you. Again, the Dubs win 132-111. They knock off the Chicago Bulls. They're back to 500 at 26-26. The Bulls fall to 22-31. As we take a look at the updated standings across the NBA right now, as games are still in action, the Warriors have moved, for the moment, ahead of the Kings for the final spot in the play-in. The 10th seed is the Warriors by itself for the moment. The Warriors 26-26. The Kings are 25-26. They are in action right now, though. The Kings hosting the Pelicans, and they're locked in a battle. Pelicans trail by just 4, 6.5 to go in the fourth quarter. Warrior fans should be Pelican fans the rest of the way in that one. If the Pelicans come back and knock off the Kings, the Warriors would be a full game ahead of the Kings for the 10th and final play-in spot, well, the fourth play-in spot, the 10th seed in the Western Conference. They are technically tied with the Phoenix Suns right now. They have the same exact record. The Suns, though, have the tiebreaker after they lost earlier today in Denver. So the Warriors gained a game to tie Phoenix. And as of right now, they are a half game up on the Kings. But again, the Kings are in action right now as well. One final piece of business to take care of before we say goodnight. It is, of course, Crashing the Boards, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. I think this is the first time I've ever given the Crashing the Boards honor, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, to Guy Santos. Guy Santos led all players tonight with 8 rebounds, and he did it in only 14.5 minutes. So shout out to Guy Santos on the glass early and often. He made a big handful of effort plays in this basketball game. He scored 7 points, excuse me. He made 1 3, was 2 of 3 from the field, got to the free throw line and made both those free throws. But he was most effective on the hustle plays as he normally is. 8 rebounds in 14.5 minutes for Guy Santos. He gets our honor of Crashing the Boards, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Quick shout out as well to Quentin Post. He deserves it for 18 points and only 10 field goal attempts tonight. 7 for 10 from the field, 4 for 7 from downtown. He still is giving the Warriors another layer, another shooter that can space the floor, and that makes it easier on Steph and everybody else as well. So a good game for Quentin Post, who in the 2 times he's matched up with Nikola Vucevic, who, according to reports, the Warriors were interested in trying to trade for in this week's trade deadline. He has had the 2 best games of his career and has thoroughly outplayed Nikola Vucevic in both of those games. So Quentin Post, keep it up. Another good game for him with this one tonight. 18 points on 7 of 10 shooting in this one. All right, that'll do it for Warriors Wrap-Up tonight. The Warriors are back in action coming up on Monday in Milwaukee. Giannis, Dame, and Kyle Kuzma, the new number 3 in Milwaukee. That game is Monday at 5. Pre-game coverage begins at 4 here on 95.7 The Game. Should be a fun battle. It is a game where the Warriors are going to be playing against, not like the Bulls, a really good basketball team, and will give us a good sense of where this Warrior team stands against one of the better teams in the league. That game again on Monday in Milwaukee as the Warriors' 7-game road trip continues. They're now 1-2 on this trip. Milwaukee on Monday, Dallas Wednesday, Houston Thursday, and they wrap it up back in NorCal in Sacramento on Friday to close out this 7-game road trip. All right, for my guy, Cam Williams, behind the glass, for Chris O'Connell, my name is Mark Granny, signing off. The Dubs get a much-needed win in Jimmy Butler's debut. 132-111 is the final score in the Dubs back at 500. Really quick before I go, because I do see a text and a chat on our YouTube chat. Shout out to Joseph for the question asking me who's winning the Super Bowl. Tune in tomorrow because it'll be myself, Jake Hutchinson, Sterling Bennett with you 12-3 ahead of the Super Bowl. We'll talk all things Chiefs and Eagles, probably with a little Niners talk sprinkled in as well. And we will give you our Super Bowl picks before we get off the air tomorrow. 12-3, a Super Bowl special on Sunday with us here on 95.7 The Game. Looking forward to that. So, Joseph, tune in because I'll give you my Super Bowl pick tomorrow from 12-3 here on 95.7 The Game. Until then, my name is Mark Ranney signing off. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good night. We'll talk next time on 95.7 The Game.